Amen. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. We talk about our Savior. We talk about our Lord. We talk about our God. We talk about the Word of God. We can be assured that He is not going to change. The world around us, ladies and gentlemen, it's changing. Our culture is changing. Politics are changing. Believe it or not, Indiana is changing. Those changes are not always good, but aren't you thankful that you and I can rest assured we have a Savior that loves us? Would you say amen today? What a God that you and I serve. And we can be confident in this one thing, that you and I, as saved Christians today, one day we are going to see our Savior face to face. And what a day that's going to be. If you're looking forward to that day, would you say amen today? It's okay to get excited in church. Look, we can get excited at ball games. We can get excited at rooting on. Well, Pacers are out of it, so sorry about that. But we can get excited about cheering on our football team, or the Colts are going to be playing very soon. And maybe you cheer for Indiana. Whatever the case might be, get very excited. 1 week until our kids are out of school. How many are excited about the summer? Say amen. See, we can get excited about things. Don't come into a Baptist church and be all down and out and quiet as a church mouse. Excuse me, friend. Jesus Christ is coming one day. You and I are going to see Him face to face. Let's smile and say amen today. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but it's going to be good today. Let's dive into Psalm chapter number 18. I appreciate that song today. Thank you so much, Mancroni family. I love that brass up here. If you enjoyed that today, would you say amen? Wasn't that fantastic? I'm looking forward to the day when we are able to, and you're finding Psalm 18 while I'm talking. I'm looking forward to the day when we fill up this place, and we've got the brass, and we've got the strings, and man, we come in here, and I'm telling, I am just really looking forward to the day as we're coming past COVID to be able to hear that and maybe add some, get somebody on the piano up here. I'm just looking forward to it. And even today, I got really pumped up during that song because, man, it was so good. And what's the amazing thing about brass is they did not need, they were not mic'd, Pastor Chris, were they? No. Microphones. It's amazing how loud they are. If you turn my microphone, I'm not that loud. I love, man, that just, I'm excited to be in church today. I'm excited about this passage of Scripture. Psalm chapter 18. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Psalm chapter number 18. Remember, as we dig in here, we're in a passage of Scripture where David has just come through a very difficult season in his life. You can read that in the inscription there as he's now gotten away from Saul. He's had great victory. And David begins to write about his Savior. And I want us to look at chapter number 18 of the book of Psalm and look at verse number 1. Psalm 18, would you look with me at verse number 1? The Bible says this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Verse number 2, the Lord, he is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This morning, I want to once again approach this passage of Scripture as we've been now several weeks on Sunday mornings looking at a journey in the Psalms. And once again, this is part 4 of this series looking at what God is to me. What God is to me. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I'm so thankful for this song that the Mancroni family just sang. Lord, it's true. Lord, we can get down, we can get out thinking about circumstances that perhaps don't go our way, discouragement that sneaks in. Father, health and Lord, these old bodies that are breaking down. But Father, when we begin to think about you, everything changes. It's amazing, God, that even in the New Testament, 400 years, Lord, nothing had been taking place. And then you stepped on the scene and everything changed. Father, it's amazing after 3 days in the grave, Lord, when all of earth is silent, Lord, all of Satan, his demons are rejoicing. Oh, but on that third day, everything changed. Father, we walk each and every day and we went about our lives, maybe as a young child or an adult. But Father, when we got saved, everything changed. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, today that we can come in here. We don't have to be concerned with yesterday or worried about tomorrow because we know you hold it in your hand. Father, I ask, Lord, that if there's one here, and again, they don't know you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. I ask, Savior, that they would see their need of a Savior that's knocking at their heart's door right now. Father, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've seen over the last several weeks, there are many, many, even in our area, our culture, our society, Marion County, Hendricks County, that know or believe in a God. Many believe that there is a God out there, but there are very few that actually know our Savior. And we begin to ask as Christians, what is or who is God to you and I? Who is He to those who have lived maybe 50 or 60 years and have been saved, and you've raised your kids in church and in junior church and going to Christian camp and you've been in church, but that question is even posed to you, what or who is God to you? Maybe you've just been saved recently and you've gotten your life right with God and you're growing in the Lord and you're in His Word and you're excited about being in church and growing in a great way, but you haven't always been this way. I don't think Austin minds me using him as an example today, but I am so thankful for Austin. Austin, we kind of came here about the same time and have developed an incredible relationship with the Hughes family behind you, and I'm so thankful over the last two or three Sundays now, Austin has come in and he's brought visitors. And last week he had a whole pew full of visitors, and they're back today. We're so thankful that they're here. And I'm so thankful Austin each and every week has been growing, and he's asking, Pastor, what can I read? What can I be in? And I'm so thankful for the Hughes family that's been there for him. And I just admit this morning, Pastor Dan knows this. I made a little bit of a mistake. We met last week, didn't we, Austin? We sat right back there. We cried together, and Austin came today. He's going to get baptized. How many's excited about that? Say amen. Going to get baptized and show the world the uniform of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Pastor forgot to tell somebody, and there's no water in the baptism. So I do apologize so much to family members who are here, but I am thankful for a man who it's not that we're telling him, hey, here's also what you need to do, and here's what you need to say, and here's what you need to get rid of. I love that the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of a man's life, and that Austin knows who Jesus is to him. He knows that he is his Redeemer. He knows, Austin knows without a doubt, that he's going to see Jesus Christ one day. He is excited about telling his co-workers. I think it was two co-workers last week, Austin was leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them finally said, Austin, you don't mind if I share this, right? Austin said this. One of his co-workers said, hey, Austin, there's a big change in you, and I've seen a big change in you, and hey, what's going on in your life? And Austin said, I think it was 3 hours. Didn't you say, okay, I'm going to tell you, but it's going to take about 3 hours. Can you imagine? don't make fun of them. Some of you are the exact same way. How you doing? Well, I got to tell you, Pastor, you have a minute? We got a couple hours. Go for it, baby. Understand this. Austin took 3 hours, and they began to explain his testimony and his life and planting seeds. Understand this. Here is a man this morning that is growing in God, that is growing in the fellowship at Cross Point Baptist Church, that's bringing people into church. And friend, I'm just here to tell you, if I ask Austin this morning, Austin, who is God to you? He'd probably get up here and begin to preach. I'm just saying, Austin, for about 3 hours, and he'd begin to testify that he has a God, and his God is real, and his God has always existed today, and will always exist. I'm thankful for somebody that's willing to testify in this culture. How many's willing to testify today? Say amen. Who's God to us? You see, David begins to explain who God is to him after he's just come through this really state of emergency in his life and running for his life and is able to get away. And God begins to move on his heart, and he pens these words, and these words that we look at today also can be our motto as well. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You see, he is our delight. He is our delight. We delight in realizing that God is our strength, God is our everything. Then we begin to look at that He is our dependence. He is our dependence. Here in verse number 2, it says this, the Lord. You see, David allows us to see the heart of his worship as is engaged to God Almighty, the Lord. That this praise is to a personal God, as we learned several weeks ago, but also this praise is to a very powerful God. And David begins to explain the power in these really 8 strong metaphors that he gives for you and I. And we saw several weeks ago, number 1, that God is our stability. Look at verse number 2. It says this, "The Lord is my rock." God is our stability. And David describes God as a rock. And David reminds us that when it appears that the whole world is spinning out of control, the believer can stand on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin to talk about this. I don't have time to go into it once again this morning, but if you were not here last week, go back and listen to last week's message. And let me put it this way. The foundation in which, no matter what life stage you're in, if you've been married for 50 years, praise the Lord. If you've been saved for 60 years, praise the Lord. Or if you've only been saved for a couple months or you're just growing, understand this, that all of us ought to build our life on a foundation. The world builds their foundation on 401ks, and the world builds foundations on stocks, and the world builds foundations on how big a house they can have or how new a car they can drive. But understand this, you and I live a different life. Our life is not to be lived building a life as if you and I are going to be here forever. I said it last week, and let me just remind us again this week. We're not going to be here forever. You and I, this is not our home. We are pilgrims. We're simply passing through. Even in my life at 37 years of age, I might not be here in my next sermon. I'm not guaranteed to get out of this parking lot. Friend, you and I are not promised another day. Therefore, may we not be laying up rewards here on this earth, but may you and I be laying rewards up in heaven, working for eternity. Because, friend, when we get there, that's when it's really going to matter. And if you and I don't start building relationships and marriages upon a rock, we're going to continue to see divorces. If we don't continue to raise our kids with a solid foundation, not with an outward appearance or well, look the part, but no, raising our kids to have a real heart for God, my friend, building a relationship and a foundation in their hearts that is not sinking sand or shifting sand, but upon the rock, Jesus Christ, we're going to continue to lose them to the world. If you and I are not careful, now watch very carefully, don't misunderstand this, but if we're not careful at Cross Point Baptist Church, we will build a foundation on yesteryear. We'll build a foundation on what took place in the past. And I've said it many times, so don't take it out of context. Pastor LaFone knows my heart today. Pastor Arrowwood, who we had lunch with this past week, knows my heart. Understand this, I appreciate the victories that we've had in the past. I love Eagledale, and I love what God did. But friend, let me just tell you, I don't want to live circa 2010. I don't want to live 1998. I don't want to live basking in what God did in the past. I want to serve a God that's working now and in the future and building a foundation here at Cross Point Baptist Church that's not looking at just one age, but Noah. It's looking at the hoary heads and it's looking at the young kids, 3 of them sitting up here on the front row, 3 young men. Listen, what we need is the pastor to foes, but also, we need these little guys up here joining arm in arm, building a foundation at Cross Point Baptist Church that we're not looking in the past. We're not looking at what's cool and what everybody else is doing today, but a foundation that's built upon the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need. And David said, look, here's my stability. Here's what I'm going to say about my God is this. He is my rock. But number 2, would you write this down? God is also our safety. He says this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. David says that God is like a fortress. Surely the reference is to the lofty mountain citadels which he fled when he was running from Saul. And David reminds us that the Lord is a place of safety when Satan is after us. Be merciful unto me. Listen to this. Oh God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Christian, in a wicked day, let me just put it this way. Satan is not impressed with our past victories. It's not that Satan's going to, they had a great victory at Cross Point, had a great victory in their family, had a great victory in their family relationship. Boy, they really renewed their marriage. Boy, I'm just telling you, their kids sat down front. I guess I'll leave them alone. No, let me tell you something, friend. Satan is going to continue to attack. Listen, Satan is going to continue to attack there at the White House. He's going to continue to attack here in the Senate, and he's going to attack, no matter if it's Republican or Democrats. He's going to continue to attack right here at Cross Point Baptist Church. He's going to continue to attack your marriage. He's going to continue to go after your kids. Listen very carefully. And when that is taking place, that's not a time for us as Christians to cower down and, oh, we're so scared, and, oh, what's going to happen? I never saw this coming. I never thought I'd see the day. No, friend, that is a time to take safety in our Savior. I said it 2 weeks ago, I'm going to say it again. You going through a hard time in your marriage? Do not take a vacation from church. Kids going through a tough time? Well, you know, they put it out there on Facebook. They put it out there on TikTok. Now, everybody at church knows that my kid is fill in the blank. And I can't even show my face at church. Friend, let me just put your mind at ease. You ready for this? This is a super good encouragement for all of us today. There is not a person in here who has ever raised a perfect kid. Somebody help me out with an amen. Well, you never met my little Johnny or Susie. Yeah, but everybody else did. Let me tell you, they're not perfect, friend. Think I'll amen me right there. Pastor Shepherd's kids are not perfect. No amens right there, okay? They're not, care. Let me tell you something. You're going through a tough time with the teenager, with the college student, embarrassed? Well, you don't know who they're dating, Pastor. Yeah, probably not. Well, they put it out there, and I'm just so embarrassed. Don't you be embarrassed. You get in church and show that teenager that your love for God is so much more than be worried about what somebody else thinks or says. The moment that you and I start trying to please everyone is the moment we have really stopped living life. Because if you and I are living life, I'm not concerned and worried about, well, what's that? I'm just using Brother Just Coach Schellenberg over here as an illustration because your son's sitting with my son. The moment that I start worrying about what you think of how I'm raising my kids, or you're worried about how I'm going to treat you by the way that you're raising your kids, is the moment we've stopped living for God. Friend, let me put it this way, I'm here to tell you and I ought to live for an audience of one, and that one is not sitting in this pew. That one is Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and I. And when you and I are going through a tough time, whether it's marriage, whether it's raising a kid, take a vacation from work, try to get away to the lake and spend some family time, but don't do it on Sunday. Don't get away from the Word of God. Don't get away from people who love you. Well, so-and-so gave me a lofty look. Well, shame on them. We can't control everybody, can we? But we have a God that's rooting for you and wants you to go far. And he's saying, friend, don't you give up. You stay in the fight. Amen. Oh, there's God. And he is, listen now very carefully. Number two, and I'm moving quickly because I got to get to this one. It's really good. He is our safety. But number three, write this down. God is our Savior. He's our Savior. Look what he says here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer. David refers to the Lord as his deliverer. The one who saves, the one who rescues, the one who delivers from danger. This word that is filled with glory, you and I can see, listen, he saved us, yes. But isn't it amazing when this life is over, we ultimately will be saved when we arrive at home? What do you mean, Pastor? That means this. This, once again, is reminding us that we're not just in this world to live the next 300 years. Understand this, in 100 years, most likely there is no one in this auditorium, if God tarries, that is still going to be living. God is going to deliver you and I. But look what he says here. Not only is God our Savior, but God is also our Sovereign. He says, oh, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. But he puts this in here. Isn't it amazing? Look at these two words. My God. David refers to him as God. The word El, it refers to God, the Almighty God. The word pictures God as one who is over all things and who is in control of all things. If you and I look, don't tune out here, it's easy to do, but watch very carefully. You and I as Christians living in 2021, the Christians of this world should surely rejoice in the knowledge that everything that happens is God's plan and that he is in control of all things. And that you and I, when we cannot make sense of it, God is still on his throne. That's why the Bible says this verse, it puts it like this, listen very carefully. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It was Job that said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You and I cannot let this world get us down. He has a plan for our life. Now look, watch. Here we go. But that's not always easy, is it? I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. You ready? Nothing has always gone our way all the time, has it? No. Nothing's always gone perfectly as planned. In my life, there's specific things that I've prayed for that have not come to fruition. There's times that God allows circumstances to come in this preacher's life that, man, I didn't see coming. I didn't necessarily make it wanted it to happen, or maybe I wanted it to happen. It didn't happen. And in my life, it's not always just been rainbows and butterflies and daisies and click your heels and woo! This is just wonderful. Nothing. Everybody, look, we've all been through times in our life where things have not gone our way. That doesn't mean that God has lost control. He's in control. He knew 3,000 years ago the news you got this last week was going to take place. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. There's nothing that surprises God. Nothing. Can you imagine when Jesus came to this earth? Jesus was, think about this, Jesus was 100% God and he was 100% man. In my mind, in our finite minds, is that not kind of hard to kind of put together at times? That means Jesus living on this earth as 100% man, he felt hunger and he felt hurt and he was tempted, but he was also 100% God. Think about that. Put it together. Now, how many have ever scared somebody before? They're coming around the corner and Tommy's raised his hand because he is like master at it. And you get behind and, hey, and you scare. Ooh, gotcha. And you scare somebody. Scare him. I used to be very honest, and I learned this early in my marriage, and I've almost been married 15 years, the 26th. For 14, almost 15 years now, my wife will tell you, I learned very early, Brother George, Carrie does not like to be scared like that. And I grew up in a family of eight. We were homeschooled, and that was like all we did all day. We just scare each other. It was great, and it was fun. That's what you think homeschoolers do, don't you? Yeah. And we scare each other. Carrie, you do not like to be scared. Can you imagine being the brother or sister of Jesus? Oh, I'm going to get him this time. Walk in. He knows. Never able to scare him. Ah, gotcha. Nah, I saw you a mile away. Can you imagine Jesus knew when Mary and Joseph were going to say yes or no? They knew. Jesus, how come you never ask any questions? How come you never ask go to the playground? How come you never ask, well, I know what you're going to say. I mean, he knows. In your life, friend, he already knows what's going to take place in your life this next week. Shouldn't that be the person that you and I trust? Amen. We know all things work together for good. Why? Because we serve God that knows this world. He knew what was going to take place, Hamas versus Israel this past week. He knew that as some now even government officials are starting to sway on their support for Israel, God knows what's going to happen, what's taking place. He was not shocked this past week when that surgeon or that doctor, that anesthesiologist came in and said, look, it's cancerous or this, we need a cut on it. Excuse me, friend, is it amazing how you and I will run to our mother-in-law or our father or a best friend we'll run to Facebook and we're trying to seek all this help, or we're trying to get all the answers, and the very last person that we go to is really the first person that we should have gone to begin with, and his name is our Savior, Jesus. Wow. See, friends, sometimes we fly through these things, we learn them, but when you really begin to think about it, God is truly sovereign. He knows. But not only this, would you write this down? Number five, God is our strength. He says here, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. David tells us that God is all that we need. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. For through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's our strength. Where do we find our strength from? Now, friend, I'm going to get very basic for a moment, and then we're going to head right into number six. If we're not careful, we at times, now everybody tune in, just watch, don't misunderstand this. At times, if we're not careful, we're going to find our strength from things that are good, but they're not necessarily God. Is there strength coming into the Lord's house, into church? Without a doubt. As the bride, we ought to be here and we ought to learn and be more like Him. But listen very carefully. Don't find strength in just doing something that's necessarily good. Strength at times, for those of us who have been saved for a long time, strength at times sometimes can be found, now listen, in our devotions. What do you mean, Pastor Shepherd? We're not supposed to read our Bible? No, wait. If we're not careful, we begin to treat the Christian walk as though it's just a checklist. I found my strength in the Word of God today. Well, what do you mean? Well, I've been in my Bible for the last 2 weeks in a row. Have not missed a day. Been in my daily bread or been in my devotion. And boy, I'm just telling you, I got real strength from the Word of God today. Okay, but let me ask you. Did you get strength from just reading it, or did God give you something? Excuse me. There's a difference there. You see, I'm married to my wife. I'm married to her. Happiness in marriage, Carrie, stand up here just a second. Happiness in marriage with my wife is not just going through life and are the kids ready for school? Great. Okay, you got everything packed for lunches? This is all on her, you know what I mean? Kids packed for lunches? Good. Got all five in the car? Great. Good. Okay. All right, well, have a nice day. It's good to be married. See ya. No, not even close. We're still married, are we not? We did our duty. Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you. Love you. Have a great day. It's good. It's good. Have a great day. Good. I more salute her than she does me. I was like, no, I was just saying. Now, listen, we're still married. But there's so much more to marriage than just, well, checking off the duty in the checklist and we'll just go through life and you do your job, I'll do mine. Still husband and wife, still got your ring on? Good, still got my ring on. Been on there for, you know, coming up on 15 years. I can't even get my ring off. That's not good. Oh, 15 years now. We've been married and we're doing our part. No, understand. Marriage is not just a duty. It's something that is incredible. I love this woman. She's my best friend. We go through life together. We love talking to each other. We love planning with each other and it's life together. Could we go through our marriage and just checklist, checklist, checklist? Yes, but let me tell you where that leads. That leads straight into a pastor's office or into a counselor's office. And I don't understand. I don't know. I cook and I clean and I bring home, you know, a paycheck. And I've given you a good house. And I don't understand. I've been a good husband. And we're still married, aren't we? See where it leads? You see, our relationship with God is so much more than just, well, I did my devotions. Well, I came to, Pastor, I'm here at church this morning, discouraging me from being at church. No, what I'm saying today is this, friend. Our strength is not going to be just found in, and there's strength in being at church because we learn about a Savior. And there's strength, absolutely, in being in the Word of God. But let me just tell you something. If you and I are not careful, what we begin to do is we begin to make religion where we draw our strength from. And God is not interested in religion. He's always interested in a relationship. And I'm not interested in just going through life of, well, we've done it for 15 years. Let's do it for another 15 years, woman, and Lord willing, we'll get there, and we'll make it through. No, I'm interested in drawing closer and making the next 15 years even stronger and greater, and I'm interested in raising kids that love God and grandkids, if God tarries, that wants to serve here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and they're singing in the choir, they're playing instruments. Excuse me, friend, somebody help me out with an amen today. Listen, we're not interested in drawing strength just from, well, the day to day, have a good day, God. I got my Bible. I did my duty. No, God is interested in a relationship that's love and joy and peace. And it's a talking. It's a back and forth. That's where we are going to draw our strength from. See, yes, do we need strength? Without a doubt. Is life tough? Yes. But I'm talking to Christians who we come here each and every week and we walk in those back doors and we pick up a hymn book or we read it, the PowerPoint when it's not frozen up, and we're in here, we do our duty and we go through and yes, Pastor Chris, lead us in some songs. Good. All right, Brass got up there. Good. Man Cronies, awesome job. Wonderful. Pastor, hurry up. It's now 11:34 and should we be done early because there's not a baptism today? And we kind of go through. And we walk out. And then, friend, we get in trouble. And we fall apart. We had a relationship snag, and we fall apart. Someone insinuates something about us on Facebook, we fall apart. Democrats, Republicans start talking about Israel, we fall apart. Things aren't going away, fall apart. Car doesn't work, fall apart. Why? Because if we're drawing our strength from someone who always has strength, why are we falling apart? I'll tell you why. Because even we as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists at times have made God's house and the life that He has given us into a rules and checklist and standards and preferences to mark off that we've been good and we please so-and-so and we're good. And the first thing that comes, we crack under pressure. Friend, when you draw your strength from God, David's saying, look, you're going to hide up in the mountains. You're going to go through some low times. It's not always going to go your way, but when you draw your strength from God, friend, you're going to be okay. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, what about if your strength is from God and then, you know, you've only been given a couple weeks or a couple months to live? Are you saved? Yeah? Then there's your strength. Because we can't be threatened with death. Why? Because we're going to heaven. There's not going to be any more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more wars, no more crutches, no more contacts, no more glasses, no more cancer. Can you imagine this? There's no Pepsi, AC, or Tums in heaven. Somebody help me out with an amen. You're with me on that? It's none of that. We get to go and we have new bodies. I want you to look at this verse. Everybody look with me at verse number 2. Look what it says here. In whom I will trust my buckler. David calls the Lord a buckler. This simply means a shield. When trouble comes in your life and in my life, sometimes the Lord, listen, friend, listen, Don't miss this. Sometimes the Lord will allow those things to come in so that we learn or grow or even bask in His grace. However, there are times when the Lord steps between His children and their trials, and He acts as a shield to stand between His children and the storm that is coming. And I truly believe, I love when God is a shield for me in my life, and only in heaven are we fully going to comprehend the times that God in His providence stood in between us and a storm, and or us and Satan, who desires to sift us as wheat. Satan is not able to do anything that God does not allow him to do. Satan is a created being. He is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at once like our Savior is. Now, I've said it before, and I'm just going to say it again. I truly believe, personally, Satan is not one to be mocked and is not one to be called upon. You will never find this preacher standing up, Pastor Defoe, and calling out Satan. Come on, Satan, bring it on today. I'm going to twist your whiskers. I'm here to tell you, I serve God. I'm just here to tell you, friend, there's an archangel in the Bible that has incredible strength that did not even fight Satan knowing the power that he had. And if God allowed Satan to, he could destroy every being in here just like that. He's very, very powerful. And there are times that you and I have gone through the storms of life. It's been tough. It was probably about actually a year ago now. I never forget, my five kids, they're playing. And they're playing around and they're wrestling. And like, you know, guys, have you ever remember being young and you wrestled with your sisters? And what always happens when you wrestle with sisters? Somebody say it out loud. Yeah, that's right. They always start crying. Isn't that the thing? Like, they just, I had seven of them. So look, don't you judge me. I had seven sisters. I know what I'm talking about. We'd wrestle around, we'd play fighting, and always, the girl ends up crying. Then they run and tell dad. Dad comes in. What happened? Well, it's a whole long story. Anyways, so my kids are all wrestling. They wrestle around the den, and this one, they're wrestling. I'm watching them here, and it's fun. You know, there's horseplay. They're playing around, and I know some of the teachers here don't comprehend that and don't appreciate that, but I was letting them be kids for a minute, and they're fighting, and they're going back and forth. Whatever happened, but Rose is our youngest twin. She's the youngest in the Shepherd family. A little bit of the runt at times. So her and Nora have gone back and forth in weight. But at this time, about a year ago, Nora started to really get picked on. And when she would come in, she's kind of getting pushed to the side. And then they're all wrestling around. It's almost like a cartoon. Remember Tom and Jerry? You know, and somebody gets kicked out and they come back in. They're trying to get it. And it's exactly isn't it funny? The young kids of today don't even know what Tom and Jerry is. It's a shame. Sad world we live in. And anyways, and they're fighting the fight. And here comes Rose. And Rose gets back in. She gets hit back out and she starts crying. And then all of a sudden it was just like natural, because she was the weak one. She almost started getting picked on even more. Now don't get onto my kids. Look, I'm the dad. I'm watching them. And she starts getting picked on even more. And finally, Rose got smart. And she came over and said, "Dad, will you help me?" I thought you'd never ask, girl. And I got in there. And I'm here to tell you, Rose was behind me. And they kept trying to get at. I'm telling you, I was not letting them. Carrie always gets on to me, "Honey, be careful." I'm like, "Oh, I got shepherds. I'm going to be strong, you know." And I'm going after them. And they're coming. I'm throwing kids here. And they'll get those stitches later. And I'm hitting them. I'm pushing them. And they keep coming. And here's Rose right at my back. And she's just backing up until finally, man, we started pushing. And we started going. I'm telling you, I had all four kids crying. It was great. And I'm throwing up. I'm doing this. Y'all can pick on my Rose. I'm going at it, and we had a lot of fun. Carrie got on me to me later. It was a great time just playing with the kids. Can I just tell you something, friend? We'll never know until we get to heaven how many times we have stood behind our Savior as He was there as a shield and just kept fighting for us and kept fighting for us and kept fighting for us and kept fighting for us. And we're sitting back here even at times not even knowing the spiritual warfare that is around us and Satan trying to get at our marriage and at our kids and at our church and at our Sunday school teachers and at our deacons and our deacons' wives. Let me tell you something, friend. Not until heaven. And when we realize that we're not fighting flesh and blood here, but we're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness of this world that you and I can't even comprehend or understand, that there is a war going on. And what David is saying, look, we could go for armies and we could go for strength and we could go for the mind and we could go for knowledge and or we can allow God to be our buckler, our shield. But let me tell you something, right now is a good time that all of us ought to start praying that God continues to be our buckler and our shield. I hate to bust anybody's bubble today. The government is not it. Yeah, but have you seen how many of the, we're getting another stimulus package. Great, that's not going to last forever, friend. We're in trouble. What'd you see? The law they passed, is that great? Yes, praise the Lord. I pray for Brother Miller each and every day, and so should our whole church. Praise the Lord for that. But let me just put it this way. That state house is not our shield. God is. And would to God we'd have some Christians, some moms, some dads that would stop playing church and stop playing war and stop playing as if, well, I was mistreated and things aren't going my way, and allow God to start being our shield. Allow God to start being our buckler. Here's what David said. He said, "Ours is our shield." I'm almost done, but write this down. He's also our security. He says this, the horn of my salvation. But you know this. Look at how he ends this verse. And my high tower. In the last metaphor, David says that God is our high tower. This is referring to the great towers that would have been built in ancient times. These cities would have these towers, and these towers were usually stocked at the very top with ammunition, and it would be stocked with supplies and food. And when the soldiers were on the battlefield, they would run to the high tower where they would be above the battle. This place oftentimes was a place of rest and refreshment. This place was a place of ready supply to send that soldier back out on the battlefield. God is the same, friend, for a child of God. When the battle rages about us, we can run to Him and be lifted above our battles and find rest and refreshment and the ready supply that we need to be able to continue to battle our wars that we're in. Surely we can rejoice in the knowledge of the Lord that is out for us and is battling for us. And listen, friend, there are even those moments in life you don't know how you're going to go on. You don't know how you're going to face another day. You don't know if you can get any more bad news. You don't know what is taking place. And God, what are you doing in my life? In those moments, listen what God is. He's a high tower. And at times, Tommy, come here real quick. At times, here's what God does. As we as soldiers are fighting our battle, and we get tired, and we're getting hit, and we're getting beat up, we're getting tired. Here's sometimes what God does. Go up on top of the stage. You ruined it, Tommy. You ruined it. Go up on top of the stage carefully and do this. Just stay there. Get some refreshment. Here, Tommy. Here, soldier. Get some refreshment. Drink up. Go ahead, replenish yourself. Should have Gatorade on me. And stay there. Here's what God does. Now let me fight your battles for you. Yeah, but God, that's not fair. I mean, I'm up here. I probably should be down there and tell you, no, soldier, stay up there. And isn't it amazing when God's fighting our battles, how often we want to yell from where we're supposed to be getting replenishment and health and safety. We want to yell down to God how to do His job. Hey, God, I know I'm not you, but if I were you, here's what I'd do. I'd wipe them out. I'd get them back. I'd get revenge. And Lord, I'm going to tell you what to do, but here's how I'd get revenge. You know, they get in their car every day. No, friend. Lord, I know you're helping my marriage, but hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna tell you, if my wife really, really loved me, here's what she'd do. Show me a sign, oh God. No, let me fight this for you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You ever get tired? Sometimes the Lord says, stay up here in the high tower for a moment. Let me get a hold of their heart. Let me get a hold of what real love and grace and mercy is. Hey, God, I know you want me to stay up there, but, you know, I really need to get a hold of them. I really know them. God says, nope, stay up there for a minute. I created them. Friend, do you need some replenishment today? Single moms, you need some refreshment? A little downtime? God says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to put you in the high tower. I'm going to give you some rest. Yeah, but Lord, I was watching CNN. Turn it off in the high tower. Yeah, but I was on Fox News, and, you know, Newsmax said, how about just stay in the high tower for a little bit? Let me take care of some things. Excuse me, Cross Point Baptist Church, you tuned in today? I think it's time. We started trusting that God has a high tower for us. And sometimes He puts us up here to give us exactly what we need. Well, can I just stay up here? Sure, but to be honest with you, we need everyone. Come on down here. We need everyone in the battle. Tommy is 11 years old, is that right? Tommy, let me have your two friends come up here for just a second. Come on up here. Just real quick, and I'm almost done. I love having a little extra time. I'm so sorry, Austin, we couldn't baptize. Next week, we're going to be cheering for you, but thank you for the extra time today. It's been really fantastic for just a moment. Now listen, here's three guys. What's your name?
David.
David and?
Zach.
Now here's three guys. Zach, what grade are you in?
Six.
Six, David? Sixth grade. Pastor Fo, can I have you come up here for a moment? Do you mind? Get your balance here. Good. Pastor Fo, why don't you come right over here? Right over here. But Jim, can you come up here for just a second? Now listen. Pastor Fo, I want you to move right here for just a second, right down here. But Jim, come on this side, right over here. Good. But Hughes, can you come up here just real quick? It's so funny when I start doing this. Everybody starts looking down like, oh, Lord, please don't let them call on me. Stay right here. And me and Brother Hughes are about the same age, I do believe. Now listen very carefully. Who is the most important in the fight today? Who's the most important? Oh, yeah, it's gotta be the young guys. They're coming up. I mean, they're the future. They're in sixth grade. I mean, it's seventh grade next year. God's going to use them in a great way. It's their generation that's most important. In the movie, but Hughes and I are over here. We're saying, oh, hey, pick me. Pick us. We're raising them. They don't know. They don't have wisdom. When's the last time you guys tithe? That's right. Yeah, we put money in the offering plate. We're doing it. It's our generation. And here's the gray heads over here saying, we laid the path. We bought this building for you to raise your kids in. What's the most important? I'll tell you what. All of us. And at times, God will take one of us and he'll bring us up to the high tower because he needs rest. And if that time is not a time for us, you see, he's up in the high tower. I'll tell you, I knew that was coming. He's no good, I'm telling you. You see, his little daughters running around here like they own the place. Let me tell you, excuse me, no. When somebody's up there getting rest because they've been in the battle, that's the time for us, Brother Jim, come over here, to get down like this. Oh, God, Brother Hughes needs us. He needs you. Father, lead them, guide them, direct them, help them, God, to get back in the battle. We need them. You see, friend, when you and I begin to understand what God is to us, we begin to understand these men and these men and these men, we're all in it together. He's not more important than me, and I'm not more important than him. And we're not more important than you. Zach, you got a big job to do. And at times, Brother Hughes will be out, and he'll be in the battle, and he's fighting hard for his marriage and for his kids and for Cross Point Baptist Church and for America, and he's a soldier. And at times, sometimes, God will take somebody else up to the high tower. At that moment when they're getting that rest and that replenishment, it's not a time for us to say, well, I quit choir. I knew that was going to happen. Maybe we don't know what's going on in that young man's life. Maybe we don't know why they haven't been in church in 2 weeks. Maybe we don't know what the doctor told them. Maybe we don't know what's happening in their mind. Maybe we don't know if there's sin in the camp. But friend, I'm going to tell you, it's not for us to find out. It's for us, gentlemen, to hit our knees and begin to pray that, hey, this little man will be used in a great way, and that whatever it is that he's struggling with in his life, that God will give him the strength and the refreshment and the rejuvenation that he needs. Why? Because, friend, I'm here to tell you today, we're all needed in this battle called life. Every one of us. And as they keep coming in that back door, hey, Austin, come up here, run up here real quick. As they keep coming in that back door, and as they get saved, and as they walk in, hey, look, let me just tell you, look here. We don't look alike, and we don't dress alike. His beard's a little bit cooler than mine is. But let me tell you something, friend. I'm not more important than him. We're in this thing together, friend. And if we don't start realizing that we've got a high tower, that sometimes we need some rejuvenation and some help from the Lord God Almighty, friend, we're going to lose people out those doors. We're going to lose neighbors to hell. We're going to lose the battle for Marion County. Friend, there is a God in heaven. Who is he to you?